Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday. Not only is it Wednesday, it's the first day of summer. So we're celebrating summer with summer songs as we continue along. In hour number two, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming your way. So the College Baseball World Series is going on in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, some of you are college baseball fans, and you might be keeping up with it. There is Wake Forest, there's Florida, LSU eliminated Tennessee yesterday, TCU eliminated Oral Roberts. So the Gators, the Florida Gators, who have no losses in this tournament, will play TCU, who have one loss, and the Gators need to lose twice in order to be eliminated, otherwise they're advancing to the championship round. Same thing with Wake Forest. They are unbeaten so far. They'll play an LSU team that has one loss, and a win by Wake Forest would put them in the championship round, and it would be best 2 out of 3. But my point is larger than this. We've been talking about NIL since NIL came into existence. We've been talking about its effect on college athletics. And it is, unfortunately, if you are on the side of some of these old school coaches and administrators that really don't like the idea of student athletes becoming instant millionaires, well, there has been sort of a push on how the NCAA could control this. Is there a way for the NCAA to sort of limit the effects of NIL deals? Can they put a cap on it? Can they do something with it? There have been talks about, do we put it in a big pool and divide it among the players, which would be absolute nonsense, that somebody, a quarterback who makes $2 million in NIL deals is giving up his money to the swimmer. That's crazy. That's basically communism, and that's not how a capitalistic society works. But the reason I bring it up is because it's too late. It's way, way, way too late. Now, the Florida, TCU, Wake Forest, Tennessee, Oral Roberts, Virginia, Stanford, all these teams brought in their fan bases. And some of these players are pretty popular. But the most popular person in Omaha was not on the baseball diamond. The most popular person in Omaha was Livy Dunn. She's an LSU gymnast, and she was there to cheer on the LSU baseball team. She is earning $3 million a year in endorsement deals. She just picked up another one from a cell phone carrier. Now, this is a genie that is not going back in the bottle anytime soon. She's too big on social media. The problem with NIL is coupling old, antiquated ideas and philosophies with brand new emerging technology that is just not worth it. Imagine if you were a golfer and you play, and I'm just trying to find one of the sports, like track and field, golf, swimming. But let's say you're a golfer. And let's say you play at the University of Georgia, and you're really good. You're really good. You've been at these amateur tournaments. Maybe you finished runner-up at the amateur, whatever. But you know what? You realize that, my goodness, me hitting shots and doing trick shots and flops and hitting stingers on video, I'm getting a ton and ton of TikTok views. I'm getting a ton and ton of followers on Instagram. In fact, I've got my own business. I'll leave it Tom Jones Golf, right, or whatever it is. And people are following me. They want to see me hit 300-yard drives or cut shots around a tree or hit stuff under branches or whatever it is that I'm doing. It's fun. And you're making a couple $1 million out of this deal, and somebody wants to give you a sponsorship. You all of a sudden have zero interest in playing golf at the University of Georgia. It's a genie in the bottle. Now, you multiply that by 10 when it comes to some of these quarterbacks and basketball players. That's what we're living. We're living in a world where it's an uncontrollable world guided by the youth, right? Guided by the youth. Find me a 65-year-old NCAA director that even understands what he's talking about when he talks about how Livy Dunn is now a social influencer. I don't even know if she's a good gymnast. I don't know where she ranks in the NCAA in terms of being a gymnast. I don't even know what her specialty is. I kind of feel guilty that I don't, but I also don't. Because what she is she's an online presence. She has a bigger following than anything that she could have done as a gymnast, because she's very attractive and she knows how to use social media. Paige Spiernak is another one, the golfer.
Yep.
She played golf at Arizona. She went to try to make it on the LPGA Tour. She didn't make it on the LPGA Tour. She's more well-known in the golf circles than your average middle-of-the-road LPGA golfer, which is what she probably would have been if she had been on that tour.
Listen, she's probably more well-known than some of the champions.
That's right.
Like some of the you know, the goats of the LPGA.
This is way too big. And it's and the barn doors are flown open for anybody to try to get the herd back into the stable. It's not gonna happen. You're gonna try to tell Livy Dunn that she can't make $3 million a year selling products on her Instagram, on her social media? Are you insane? How in the world are you gonna do that?
She'll quit school.
She will quit school. She is not a famous TikToker because she wears an LSU uniform. She is. There were kids lining up to meet her, to get a glimpse of her, to take a picture of her in Omaha.
There's a funny photo that ESPN published of an older gentleman.
Yeah, who's interested in Livy Dunn? Yeah,
and you know, it's like you know, and all this the. One thing says, like, man, ESPN's doing this guy dirty. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
But we would be in the same boat.
Sure. Sure. She's a very, very attractive young lady.
Yeah.
But again, she is living in a world that is different than anybody that works in the NCAA office.
And honestly, I don't think she didn't become popular because she's an LSU gymnast.
No,
like, I don't even think that helped her out at all.
I think she just was.
She just knows how to use social media and popped in at the right time.
Yeah. The kids have figured this out. A lot of them have figured out how to make money off of this, how to keep content alive, how to continue to grow your subscriber base or whatever it is. They know how to do this. And if you want them to, if you're LSU and you want to capitalize on having Livy Dunn as a gymnast, then you just let her do her thing and make her money.
Oh, yeah.
You don't try to say, well, you know what would be best for everybody if we all pooled that money and gave an equal distribution to everybody.
No, because in the long run, it helps LSU out.
Right. Of course it does. Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's more public exposure for their university, whether it's athletics or school itself. And, you know, why wouldn't a university is like, man, we're just getting free advertising through her.
Let me tell you, man, I hope they try to do that pooling of the money thing. I hope they try. I hope they're inundated with every lawyer in the country filing a lawsuit on behalf of their multi-million dollar 19-year-old athlete client who is like, I am not splitting this money with a track and field person. I am not giving this money to the shot putter. Are you kidding? It's not happening. Sorry, no. This is my money. It's not your money.
Yep.
If the NCAA creates a system where athletes get a stipend of the money, I can understand that. I totally understand that. If you say, look, we're not playing favorites here. The quarterback gets the same amount of money as the punter, and the punter gets the same amount of money as the fifth guy on the golf team. I get that. If that's coming from the university. But you're talking about individuals who make their own deals and are making money because of who they are and what they've accomplished and what they have. Yeah, never, ever going to put that. They are scared that this is going to get so out of control. It's ridiculous. But that ship has sailed. That ship is long gone. There's just going to be more and more and more of these. It's crazy. It's funny because I see these videos where, like, young people are like, hey, man, are you going to the game tonight? And they're like, no. And they're like, well, you are now. And there's a limousine, and it picks them up and takes them to the Super Bowl, and they're meeting athletes. It's like they're well. These kids have got a lot of money behind them.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast is going to be a trillionaire by the time this thing is over at the rate he's going. Somebody did an analyst on his videos.
Have given away $1 billion.
Right.
Because it just blows my mind. I mean, the amount of money, the amount of things he does to give. I mean, but he's doing it in fun ways. There was like one that was like a car giveaway or something like that. They had to stay within this square. And the square, like each hour kind of, and they couldn't eat or anything like that. But each hour the square got smaller.
All right. Yeah.
And he would come out there, and since they couldn't eat or anything, he would come out there and be like, oh, this pizza tastes so good.
Nice. You better be careful. They did that with the hold your Wii for a Wii contest.
Yeah, no. He's
you
I don't think
be
he's
careful with that.
He's just dealing with people's hunger pains.
All right. He's all right. Very good. As long as he's not messing around with that, he could die. But nevertheless, it's a guy that, like, they did an analysis of his channel and how much it could be worth, right? And would you sell it for $1 billion? And he said, no. And they said, would you sell it for, like, $5 billion? And he goes, no. And somebody did the math. They're like, every video he does gets this many more views than the Super Bowl did, right? And if the Super Bowl can charge this amount of money for ads, he can charge this amount of money for ads. he's reaching like double the audience or whatever it is. I mean, some of his videos are going, they're like 250 million people have seen their, he's seen his videos. It's like, that's almost double the Super Bowl numbers, close to 300 million that are watching his videos. So they're saying, look, if you keep doing this content, yeah, you do not sell for $1 billion. That's giving it away. That's giving away. You'll be doing the content. You'll be a billionaire, but your channel is way more valuable than that. That's the world that the NCAA is fighting against. That's the world when it comes to NIL. It's not the Mr. Beast of the world because he's obviously a unicorn in this, but there's enough people making so much money. I mean, look, we talk about Arch Manning, but there's plenty of quarterbacks that are going to be millionaires by the time they walk off their campuses. And again, the trick shot guy, the guy that's like nobody, but this is the one thing he does, and he happens to play at Texas or Oklahoma or Oregon or wherever. Those guys are making, they may not be making millions of millions, but they're making enough that you just are not fighting it again. I mean, the level of attention that girl was getting in Omaha was insane. It was almost distracting how much attention she was getting. If you're a baseball player, you couldn't help but look up and go, "What? Wow, look, I guess Livy Dunn's here," because everybody is kind of moving into this one location to get a picture of her. It's crazy. And that, again, that's somebody who has understood what this thing is all about. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, I've tried to figure it, not figure it out to for me monetarily, because I'm way past the age of getting anybody to like TikToks. But I'm just trying to figure it out just as an educational thing. Like, all right, what are these guys doing? How are they doing it? Where's the money stream coming from? And they've mastered it. They have figured out ways to master it with the right tags and the right subscribers and the right way it goes viral. Yeah, that's the world they're living in. All right, we'll come back. It's Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. Happy Wednesday to you. And the first day of summer, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Sports Map Radio. Again, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, let's get this rocking and rolling with the good of the day.
Good of the day. Hey, this is good. It could be great.
Right.
But, you know, the man who runs the NBA completely, you know, information-wise, Adrian Wojnarowski.
NBA PR person? Oh, the news. Woj. Yeah, okay.
Promises not to leak picks this year.
Oh, thank God.
No, like he has done in the past, where he used to tell you the pick before the pick even came, and then the last couple of years he's kind of changed it up with using certain catchphrases and stuff like that. But he says, you know, he's like, I, this year I'm not going to leak the pick at all. I'm more interested in these storylines.
That's good. That's good. I mean, these guys rushing to be the first on Twitter, it's like, I'm more interested in the surprise. I don't need you to tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. So you're not doing, I don't think you're doing a lot of people a service. I think most people are like, you know what? I'm going to find out in 2 minutes anyway.
No,
I'd rather
says,
hear it up on stage.
What he says is, I'm not doing the picks this year, the pick by pick. I don't think it has any value for me or ESPN.
Yeah, it is true. That is true. He's 100% right.
So, yeah. So he wants to concentrate more on, you know, tweeting out storylines or, you know, do story time. Or he'll still let you know the real-time trade talks.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what I want is, okay, when the Charlotte Hornets get up, and let's say they take Scoot Henderson.
Right.
You can just start, you can, and you know they're taking Scoot Henderson, work on the, all right, he adds a dynamic to their backcourt, blah, blah, blah. You know, do that. Oh, yeah, they were, Charlotte was blah, blah, blah. Like, give me a stat that makes him a valuable pick, important pick.
Or, you know,
if there's a trade, tell me why that trade
during
is important.
Victor, you know, during when Victor Wembanyama is getting picked and they're doing the whole thing, you know, tweet out then that's like, hey, I don't know if this is going to go through, but there's real heavy talk coming from the Houston Rockets to move up a spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something, you know, something stupid. I don't know.
Yeah, do that. That's better. That's better.
Yeah.
Same with the draft. I have no interest in knowing who anybody's picking before. And you know what? There was an evolution with that. I mean, the ESPN did actually say on, you know, they would actually have it on TV where Adam Schefter would say, and I'm, boom, this pick is going to be linebacker so-and-so from Texas Tech.
Right? Yeah.
And like, then they started realizing the NFL was like, nah, don't take the show away. Don't take the fun away.
Don't like this is we've created this primetime show to make it a program. Don't do it. And so that's good. That's good. I'm glad he's doing it. And again, he's right. He's not going to find tremendous value in that. I don't think there's anybody saying, I really want to know who the pick is 2 minutes before it's announced on TV.
Yeah. I mean, it was just ruining, right? Yeah. I mean, we'd get that all the time and go, okay. And then you see it pop up. It's like, I mean, even if somebody leaks the pick, I have a feeling that Shams Charania might be leaking picks.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
But
there's probably smaller ones. But you know what my problem is that I use YouTube TV and it is on a delay, real delay. So I have to watch. I have to be careful with Twitter because it's like a good 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like from what the original broadcast is, because the original broadcast is coming and then they're basically streaming that through YouTube. So, I mean, it makes you go, oh, wait, hold on. Like I'll watch games and I'll go, wait, it'll say like, you know, touchdown. And I'm like, there's still third and six. Oh, here it is. Touchdown. Oh, so I got to be careful on Twitter.
Yep.
But nevertheless, I'm glad he's doing that. What's the bad of the day?
The bat of the day. You know, remember that way, you got to go way back a few years ago, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach.
Yeah, sure.
Climbed a tree to help recruit.
Oh, that's right.
You remember he did a sleepover to help recruit?
Yeah.
Well, this is taking it a step further because super agent Drew Rosenhaus, while fishing with Tyreek Hill, one of his clients already, decided to jump in the water and wrestle a shark.
Wrestle a shark?
Yeah, there was a shark on the line, and they were releasing it. And Drew decided to jump into the water, open water, off the boat, in the middle of nowhere, middle of the, I'm assuming in the Atlantic somewhere, off of Florida somewhere, and just kind of fool around and mess with the dusky shark, which is a smaller shark,
right,
but still has got a lot of teeth.
I wouldn't wrestle a shark in the desert where it's dying from a lack of water.
Yeah.
Like you're in his territory. Why are you messing with a shark in its territory?
Yeah, and it was just stressed out.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know,
right.
It just went through a stressful experience because it was caught, which they don't like.
No.
You know, I can't imagine a shark being like, "Ah, I got caught today. It was so awesome." So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that proves. You know, he was asking for Tyreek Hill to come in. Tyreek was like, hell
no. No, I'm not going anywhere near a shark. Come on. No. Don't mess with it. It's unknown. You don't
know
what these animals are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, he jumps into the water. I mean, the shark is like I said, the shark is stressed out. It's disoriented. He jumps in the water and grabs the tail of the shark.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, dude, that shark will just eat you. He doesn't care.
Remember that guy? I think we talked about him before. The guy that went, the grizzly man that went into the was in Alaska filming the bears, and he really thought that they were his friends.
Yeah,
he really got to a point where he thought he could predict their behavior. And then one bear where the salmon had kind of not been as plentiful and was hungry tore him to pieces.
He ate him
and his girlfriend. They're unpredictable. You don't know.
Hey, the animal kingdom had no idea that Steve Irwin was their biggest champion on the planet.
That's right. They had no clue.
They had no clue. Stabbed him.
It's why they unfortunately had to shoot that gorilla.
Yes.
In Cincinnati when the little boy fell in the pit.
Harambe.
Right? Harambe. That's right. Harambe. I'm sorry. I forgot his name. Rest in peace, Harambe.
Yeah.
But when they had to shoot it and people were like, no, you can tell the gorilla was trying to help. No, you can't.
No, you can't. You can't tell.
Now you can't watch the video and see that he was trying to help the boy. He was not doing any. You can't. That's your imagination because you want to think they're like you. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You want to give them the nice nurturing qualities that you would have if somebody was in distress. They might, but they also might not.
But Tony, Tarzan was rescued by apes and raised.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
So why can't that happen? Why would Harambe was just doing the same thing?
Yeah,
that the apes of Tarzan
did. I'm not saying don't help animals in distress. Of course.
No, absolutely. No. You see, like a beach shark. I'm all for those guys that are trying to get that shark back into the water.
I love these little stories of like the orcas that are like swimming to boats, like help, help, mommy's caught in a net.
Yeah.
And somehow someone on the boat goes, I think that orca wants help with something. Let's follow it. And then you find out mom is caught in a net, and they go release it. An orca will kill you by looking at you, for crying out loud.
And they tag team.
Right? Yeah.
Orcas scare me now. I used to love them and think, oh, it'd be so great. And, you know, watching Free Willy, you're like, oh, what if you're out in the middle of the water? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I although I don't think they would eat humans, but to see how they all work together to, like, get a seal off an iceberg.
They're not messing
freaks
around.
Freaks me out that they're all coordinated like that. That's a planned attack.
When my daughter was five, like all little girls, she loved dolphins to death.
Of course,
she was all about dolphins. And I knew what she didn't know, but they're killers.
They are.
They are murderers. And I wasn't going to tell her until she got, I figured she'll figure it out when she becomes a teenager. And she did. When she thought they were cute and adorable and she wishes she could have one as a pet in the backyard. And I'm like, oh, I know, honey. It's awesome. I wish we could have a dolphin in the backyard, too. That would be sweet. Meanwhile, I'm like, when she gets older, she's going to find out how unbelievably ruthless these things are.
They blow bubbles at fish.
Right?
And my favorite dolphin fact is that I don't know which creature it is, but they like to get high.
Yeah.
I love that about dolphins is that, you know, there's like, hey, dolphins, they kind of are just like us.
Hey,
you know, every once in a while, you just need to get a little buzz.
Hey, Charlie, if you eat that.
Just bite down on it. You don't have to swallow it.
Yeah, you can
don't swallow
it.
Just bite down and then pass it back over. It's like they pass this, I don't know, it's like a sea urchin or something around.
We got nothing to do today. just sit around. We'll just sit around this
fantastic
coral reef and just chill.
Yeah.
It'd be great. So our lesson is, kids, animals will kill you.
Animals will kill you. So don't. I had a buddy in college, and this is the only one I would recommend. I had a buddy in college who was vacationing down in Mexico, and he, years ago, but he wrestled a nurse shark and brought it on shore. And I will say that's probably the safest shark to wrestle.
Because
their mouths are on the bottom.
Gotcha.
They're kind of bottom feeders. They're considered sharks because of, you know, the anatomy of them, but they don't have like the big teeth, the big jaws of teeth.
Nice.
You know, it's more like, you know, if you've seen a suckerfish in your fish tank, they're kind of built that way where the mouth is on the bottom and you can get underneath it. I mean, the skin is scaly and can cut you, but I think that's the most harmless shark to wrestle.
So if that's what you're going to do, kids.
If you're going to wrestle, if you're hell-bent on wrestling a shark, make it a nurse shark. This dusky shark, I mean, as soon as he came to and realized what was going on, we'd be talking about, hey, you remember Drew Rosenhaus? He's with the submarine guys.
Yeah, right. All right, we'll continue with the dumb of the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue.
A crazy dumb.
That crazy dumb coming up next is Wake Up Call.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ah, Canada's own Brian Adams. Ushering in summer on June 21st.
Best singer to come out of Canada, or do we? Is that now the Biebs?
Alanis Morissette, wasn't she Canadian?
She was Canadian. Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne was Canadian. Anyone else that we can think of, remember?
Any sure, Rush.
From Canada? Rush. Rush was from Canada.
Yeah. All of them were.
Yeah, that's right. All of them were. Hey, with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find all your favorites at the lowest prices at Total Wine. Total Wine has been the best for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and more. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, we are doing the good, the bad, and the dumb. We're getting to the dumb. Hey, one other note on that, on the animals. Animals.
The animals that'll kill you?
Yeah, I saw a clip of a Joe Rogan podcast where he was telling a story about a chimpanzee. He was saying that this guy had a pet chimpanzee when it was a baby, and then it got older, and it was like, they got to go to the sanctuary. And so he would go visit it. He told this story where the man would go visit it, and the chimp would just so excited to see him, and then he'd go on. But, you know, one year he brought the chimpanzee a birthday cake, and the other chimps noticed that he didn't bring them a birthday cake. And then when he showed up, they found a way to get to him and attacked him and tore him to pieces, tore him up, ripped his face and everything. They're so dangerous, man. And they're stronger than you and bigger than you. So again, they look cute and cuddly, but
Man. It always petrifies me when you see those videos of you know, this person had rescued a lion.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
They went back several years later, and the lion's like, you know, hugging and kissing and loving on the person. And I'm just waiting, like, and at any second, the head will be gone.
Yeah, exactly. Then at any minute, the lion will chomp, break the head off.
Sorry.
My favorite videos. I was really into this for like a rabbit hole one day, was hippopotamuses attacking
boats.
I was absorbed with this. I was clicking any video that I could find.
I used to think
hippopotamus attacking a boat.
I used to think the Jungle Cruise was making things up.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, you're firing a gun. We just got done seeing a tiger, some lions, you know, all these animals that could kill you, but you're mad at a hippo?
No, hippos, please.
Is that a cow?
Yeah. Like, when I first heard that hippos kill more people than any animal in Africa, I think, or
yes.
in the world.
No, I mean, yeah, they're the most dangerous.
I remember the first time I heard that, I went, bull crap.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, hippos, man. I'm like, whatever, hippos. Every time I go to the zoo, they're lumbering around, can't move, cop, please. And then like, no, you got to see these hippos, man. Well, you see them when they're angry. Oh, whatever. And then I saw it. I went, oh, no, I buy this now. I buy this 100%.
And it's just the fact that they can go undetected underwater, and then they move quick.
They move quick. Before you know it, that hippo is right next to your boat going, you're dead. I'm not stopping. I'm coming.
Flipping it, and then just, you know, I guess what, one swift kick and you're knocked out, you're dead. So,
hippos,
yeah.
Hippos like you, when you're in this water.
I don't think hippos don't eat you.
No, I think they just bite down.
I think they're just doing it for sport.
I think so, too. They're hunting us like we hunt other animals.
Yeah.
All right, what is the dumb of the day, the crazy dumb of the day?
Well, it involves animals.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, kind of.
Awesome.
There's a U.S. billionaire family. They're based in the U.K., okay?
Uh-huh.
But they put an ad in the paper, Tony, for a live-in dog nanny.
A live-in dog nanny?
Yeah, so they want someone to come in and take care of their dogs.
Why do they have a dog if they can't take care of them themselves?
Well, I mean, you know, billionaires don't ask such meaningless questions, Tony.
Right, I guess not.
But you want to know where the dumb comes in?
Yes.
And if your daughter's not doing anything, maybe push her to apply.
Right.
Because this role of dog nanny will earn her $127,227 per year.
Just taking care of the dog?
Yeah. That's like, your annual salary.
Is that an eight-hour a day thing?
I can't imagine it being 8 hours because the dog sleeps like 20.
I know.
I mean, for literally $127,000. Yeah,
wow.
You feed it, you walk it. I mean, maybe you got
that. Sounds like somebody who's rich is like, what do these people get? Like, I don't know, $170,000. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Why not?
That makes sense.
It's like, tell us what you think this job should pay. $200,000 a year? What about $170,000? Oh, okay, I'll take it. A little on the low side, but sure.
Yeah.
And then running away going, oh, my God.
But for $127,000 a year, you could live. Obviously, you're going to be a live-in nanny, so you're living in a nice place.
Is it a fleet of dogs? Is it a horde of dogs?
I don't know. I don't know.
Big Doberman pinchers that are like, oh my God, take these for walks.
Are they Great Danes and you got to clean up the yard? Because that alone, that could take a while. But still, for $127,000 a year, I'll clean up after a Great Dane.
Room and board provided? Sure.
Yeah.
I'll bank some money taking care of a dog. It's crazy.
And it's like in the posh neighborhood of Kensington.
I will tell you, people get ridiculed when they have full-time nannies. When Richard, like, you don't even, somebody's taking care of your kids all the time. But a dog is like, that's crazy. Like you have a dog because you love dogs. Like, why don't you love the dog enough to want to, I get you want to hire a dog walker. That's awesome. You know, like, you don't have to do it or whatever, but maybe you want to train the dog, get a trainer. But somebody that is up feeding your dog, grooming your dog, taking your dog to the vets to make sure it gets its shots, all that stuff. The dog's eventually going to know where the bread is buttered on this side of things. Right? That's what it is.
Yeah. So they have two dogs.
They
have two beloved dogs. And they are truly looking for someone at the top of their field who can ensure the overall well-being, happiness, and safety of their dogs.
That dog better not die on your watch.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's basically it. That dog better not get dog cancer or whatever it is. Like, no, you better be feeding it only the finest ingredients. You might have to prepare its meals with fresh stuff.
Yeah, and even as someone told, recruiter, this is the job posting recruiter,
right?
George Dunn said, you know, he says he even has some vets who have trouble making that much money.
Oh my God, right?
At $127,000, if I'm a vet, I'm taking the job.
Yeah. Oh no. If I'm
Cesar Millan, I'm taking the job. $127,000 a year? Are you kidding me?
They're in Britain.
In Britain.
See, I'd be sitting there watching TV, and they would have to go, Tony, the dog is dying to go outside for a walk. Yeah, I'll get to it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I already talked to the dog. Dog's fine. We're leaving in, I don't know, an hour.
Yeah, I told the dog.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
They were just finishing watching this this football match.
I'm like, go lay down. Go lay down. Go over there. Here's a bone. Go lay down.
I mean,
I'm going to finish this show. I'm terrible.
Here's a little treat. Don't tell the owners.
Exactly. Don't get up on the bed.
Don't tell mom and dad.
Yeah, right. Dog nanny. But you know what I found out? Like, dog walkers in New York City make a fortune.
Well, yeah, but they have like 30 dogs on a leash.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, there's some work involved. And I know that's a big business because most of these dogs live in high-rise apartments. And
has that always been a big business? Is that, like, can you go back in the 70s and find people who walk dogs for a living?
God, maybe not. Like maybe people were more self-sufficient back then.
Like, if I went to Annie Leibovitz or somebody who's lived in New York, like, forever, would I go, Fran Leibovitz, not Annie Leibovitz, Fran Leibovitz. If I went to her, and she's been living in there since the 70s. Like, were people walking dogs is that a profession back in the 1970s, or is that something somebody came up with and said, man, I'm making like $20 a dog a day. I got 16 dogs on Monday and 10 dogs on Tuesday. And yeah, I'm making a fortune. I had a girl I went to high school with did that. She made a lot of money doing that. She was the one I told you about that started that dog vacation business.
Yeah.
Remember that one? We said she's from New Hampshire, so she took New York City dogs. This was brilliant, by the way. She took New York City dogs to New Hampshire for vacation. So she would, her pitch to the clients were, hey, you want to have a weekend without your dog? Well, your dog is in the comforting care of us, and we'll just take the dog to the beach and the mountains and run in a field and have a good time with other dogs while you have a weekend off where you don't have to do anything. Now, this is your business. Sign up now. We're leaving on Friday, we'll pick up your dog and we'll be right back. We'll be back Sunday night. We'll have pictures and
goodie
bag. Yeah, so you got these New York people going, how much is that? And they're like, all right, it's X amount of dollars. We come pick up your dog. We'll bring them back. We'll groom them while we're there. But you'll have pictures of your dog running on the beach, in the mountains. Like, you know, New Hampshire's a small state, but it's got everything. And that's what she does. She takes them to her house. Her family's got a big property. They stay in kennels on the property. And then she takes them out on adventures. And she brings them back. And every time she does this, they're booked. She's booked solid.
No, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
And I told her once, I said, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. I never would have come up with something like that.
So, I mean, she drives down to New York City, picks up the dogs?
No, she lives in New York.
Oh, she lives in New York.
Yeah, so she's a dog walker in New York, but her parents have this, like, farm in New Hampshire. She's got, like, some property.
So a little bit extra. She's like, give the dog a vacation.
Somehow she came up with this idea, her and somebody else. Came up with this idea.
That is absolutely
so. Well, we're going fantastic. Home. Why don't we bring some dogs and have a good time? And these owners are like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I don't have to worry about
it. It was probably
my...
an owner
yeah.
that suggested, like, you know what I really would love? I would love just one weekend without any responsibilities.
Yeah, like, what are you doing this weekend?
Like, on the weekends, I'm the one who has to go down the elevator 70 stories down to take my dog out.
Yeah, exactly. So get them some fresh air, some exercise. Fun stuff. We'll continue.
So apply today for that dog
that's right.
nanny job.
Dog nanny job is right. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Oh, so again, the NBA draft will be on Thursday night, but if you're kind of wondering what else is going on this weekend, well, there is the London series in Major League Baseball that's up there. It's between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. They'll play a two-game series in London. If you all remember, 4 years ago, the Yankees and the Red Sox went to London for two games. And then the pandemic happened, and they kind of curtailed it. And now the Major League Baseball is still wanting to bring some games over to Europe. There's a possibility that this could be a launching point for the Yankees, for example, to play in Paris, 1 year. They're even looking at Amsterdam and Italy for future games of Major League Baseball. Now, if you remember the World Baseball Classic, Great Britain didn't do all that bad. They won a game. Italy was actually pretty good. So they're trying, again, to launch Major League Baseball into Europe. Now, they've gone to Japan. They opened up a season in Japan one time. But Europe's been sort of fresh soil for them to try to plant the flag of Major League Baseball in those countries. But nevertheless, that's what's going to go on this weekend. I remember the Yankees and Red Sox in London. It was wild. What a game. There was a lot of home runs. It was kind of entertaining. And I think the Londoners who went to that game did a good job. Now, I hope, again, that we don't have a situation where we're talking about London getting a Major League Baseball team like we are fascinated with the NFL, because that will never happen. But nevertheless, it's at least another international series to go after. I don't know if this is this just came to my mind. Are they doing the Iowa game again?
So funny because I just looked it up.
Yeah. Are they?
No.
No, they're not. They're not.
No, because there's a construction project going on.
Oh, didn't we do this story one time before?
I think we talked
about that? That they were. Yes, we did, actually. They were building.
It's an $80 million development project that they're doing. So there's no Field of Dreams in Iowa this year.
Right.
However,
they were building like a bunch of other ballparks so they could have tournaments and different things like that. Yeah.
Make it a travel destination.
Right.
However, though, there is a Field of Dreams game in 2024.
Okay.
But not in Iowa.
Not really?
No, they changed the location. It's going to Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Which I didn't know this, but apparently it's the oldest professional ballpark in the United States.
I remember hearing a little bit about that. It's a nod to the Negro Leagues, right?
Right.
So
it'll be held on Juneteenth and June 20th.
Oh, great. Good, next year. That's next year. What teams are going to be playing?
I don't think they've announced the teams yet.
Announced it yet? Yeah, I didn't think they would.
They just announced the date.
We'll figure it out
later. Yeah.
So, man, that's great. That's great. Well, anyway, that'll be in London coming up over the weekend. Major League Baseball right now.
Oh, wait. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I think it looks like it's – well, I mean, I'm reading this article. I guess the Giants will play the Cardinals.
Oh, okay. So the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. Well, why are the Cardinals getting love again?
Yeah, why is that? They're a pretty popular team.
But Major League Baseball is flirting with a hard time because if the weather is like it is right now, and I know it's all throughout the South. I mean, I know Texas is, we're under a heat advisory, and they just keep saying there's no end in sight. You know, each day it's like it feels like the heat index temperature is in the 110s every single day.
Yeah, just settle in.
If it's like that in Birmingham, is that appealing to do it like in June?
No.
I got Iowa. I know it can get muggy in Iowa and hot in Iowa, but it's a little bit further north, so the temperature is a little bit more comfortable. I can't imagine, a major league situation happening today.
Major League Baseball right now, man, it's fun. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the winning streaks continue for the Cincinnati Reds. San Francisco Giants have won 9 in a row. The Reds have won 10 in a row. The Red Sox won again. They have now won 6 straight. Atlanta's won 7 in a row. So there's pretty good storylines going on. Cincinnati's not only is Cincinnati rolling along, they're in first place in their division. Arizona is 2.5 games above San Francisco. So a lot of cool things going on in Major League Baseball.
Here's a question that I'm having now, because there were a lot of talks, because Shohei Ohtani's a free agent at the end of the season.
Right.
Right, and there's no franchise tag. You know, they don't have that in baseball. So there was talks early on that the Angels might be dealers at the trade deadline.
Right.
If they are out of it. But since they are in it, they're actually buyers right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they should have been buyers years ago.
They should have been buyers all along.
They should have been buyers all along.
But is their success right now kind of hurting them?
In terms of like of what they'll
if
have
you
to
were
pay
able
Shohei
to
Ohtani?
Offload Ohtani to a team, I mean, you would probably get a king's ransom for him right now.
Oh, you would. Yeah, no doubt.
And whether or not you want that, I don't know, but at least, you know, you could have a lot of building block pieces for the future.
I get the argument that one really, really great player, if you can turn him into some really good players, might be better in your pursuit.
Right.
But I
But them being contenders, you can't do that now.
Outside of the 2002 World Series, and I know that's a big if, the Angels have failed so many times with talented players that I don't think, I mean, if they can't win with Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, how are they going to win with Mike Trout and a bunch of really good players that they got for Shohei Ohtani? It's like, I get it. You can fill the, you know, you can fill the lineup card a little bit more. You don't need any one of them to be particularly great, but it's still. No, if I'm the Angels, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for this moment where I feel like I've got a winning team. I feel like we can build on the winning team. Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, let's roll with this for the next couple. You see what happens. But no, I wonder what they're thinking. I mean, is this something that if we commit to Shohei Ohtani in one of the largest contracts you'll ever see in baseball, because that's what he'll be up against when he gets that new deal. If they commit to that, how much of what they're seeing now is going to be on the table? Or is this a year where they've caught a division where the Astros are kind of struggling a little bit, you know, whatnot, and Seattle, who was really good last year, not as good this year. How much of that is them actually being decent enough to be consistent in the playoff hunt? That's a question they're going to have to answer. They're going to have to answer that and figure that out. Because they've got the best player in baseball, but they have not turned that into the thing we need it to. If you're going to have the best player in baseball, he cannot be home every October. He has to be on television in October. That's kind of the way it is. And it's too bad because, you know, if you're the Angels, you've been gifted not one but two generational talents. And they have not morphed into something like what the Astros have created over time or what the Rays continue to create or what Baltimore is doing. Hasn't juggernaut into something like that where it's a consistent presence in the playoff picture. I mean, I don't know. Would you buy or sell the Angels right now? It's getting into July 1st. Would you say, all right, you know what? I bet right now the Angels make the postseason. I don't know how. I don't care. But they will be playing October baseball.
The problem is that they're in a tough division.
Right, they are.
You know,
I mean, expecting the Astros to sort of wake up a little bit.
Right.
Their pitching has not been very good.
Yeah, their pitching hasn't been great. And then, you know, they got more bad news with Lance McCullers being sidelined and done for the season yet again. I think it's time for them to wash their hands of him. It's sad.
By the way, good for Framber Valdez last night to outduel Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Good for him on that one.
But I'm with you. I think the Astros wake up at some point. They're still a good team. I mean, God, they're the reigning champs.
Yeah.
Texas Rangers went out and bought themselves a great team.
Really,
so they're
good team.
They're good. And the Cardinals have a history of underachieving.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I can't help but think, like, at some point, and I know that, you know, you can have there's more wild card slots opened up now, so you could have more than one team or two teams from any given division. But I still feel like, you know, there's so much going on in the other. Like, the East makes no sense to me whatsoever
right now. Who's more disappointing, the Mets or the Padres?
Cardinals. What?
Cardinals, yeah. Cardinals, definitely.
All right, sorry, we took them out of the equation.
God.
That's a great question.
Because Fernando Tatis is starting to play well.
He's starting to play well, but right. I don't think the Padres have fully gelled together.
No, not yet.
You know,
yet.
They have a lot of superstars, and that's where there's a lot of egos there. The Mets, I think there's constant expectation of what the Mets are going to be.
The Mets are reminding me of a golfer that triple bogeys the first hole and then presses the whole round to try to make it all back.
Yeah.
Like they are a bad team, but they're piling on. And I don't know how much pressure is building up within that organization because they are hearing about their demise constantly.
It's like they're constantly trying too hard.
Right, right, right.
You know,
constantly hearing.
Oh, let's overcompensate for this. And now you just hooked it into the rough. Oh, how about this? You know, we'll do a little little draw here. It's like, oh, now you're in the bunker.
Yeah, the Yankees, the crosstown team, is struggling, but they don't have Aaron Judge. And I know the Mets just got Pete Alonso. But like the Yankees, when Aaron Boone went, this lineup can still hit, the Mets still went, this lineup can still hit, and they have it. So,
and that's why the Reds are scary, because they just got back Joey Votto, and they didn't need him.
Right. Yeah, that's right. All right, we'll come back. It's more on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Again, looking at the NBA draft tonight. Victor Wembanyama going one. Who would go number two? We'll have that for you coming up as well as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.